Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Taiwo Dukoya, the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Church. It is our prayer that the message you're about to hear will no doubt shape your destiny in Christ. Be blessed as you listen.
I want to take my text from the book of John in chapter 4. We started meditating on this scripture on Thursday, and it has really blessed me, I must confess. I'll read quickly from verse 46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way. Your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better, and they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. This again is the second sign that Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Now, going by the account of John, it's pretty easy for anyone to assume that this is the second miracle that Jesus ever did by the account of John. But that's not what John actually was saying, because John never said it was the second miracle that Jesus ever did. Though John never called miracle miracle, he called miracle signs. There are certain nomenclatures of you find in John that makes him very different from the rest of the Gospels. The other three Gospels are called synoptic Gospels, simply meaning they see the same way. But John is slightly different. Those Gospels reported everything that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Fantastic. But John set out to make you understand that this is God. And that's why you hear John will talk about signs and wonders and life, you know, and spirit. You know, that's what you find more about Jesus in the book of John. Why did I say it wasn't the second time? Because if you just flick back a little, you find in chapter 2, in verse 23, where it reads, now, when he was in Jerusalem, you know, that's way back, before now, before chapter 4. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did, when they saw the miracles which he did. So many believed. So this wasn't just the second miracle, but it was the second miracle in Cana of Galilee. Glory be to God in the highest. And of course, if you look at chapter 3, you find there too, from verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs, these miracles that you do unless God is with him. Then, you know, the rest of the dialogue. So we discover that Jesus was an embodiment of miracles. He was as supernatural as he was natural. He was Son of God, Son of Man. He was 100% God, and yet behaved typically like a man without sin, though. 100% man. So signs and wonders were just part of his life, because he never at any time denied the fact that he was spirit. Instead, he started to let us know that we are spirits. Because if you never remember that you are spirit, you keep on behaving just like flesh. But the truth is that the flesh that can still move and talk is a spirit. Only that it may be a dead spirit within or a living spirit. If you are not born again, then the spirit within is dead. That the Bible says that your conscience is seared. But if you are born again, then you are able to hear and see God. Then you are able to understand that God is spirit and they that worship him, you and I, will do that only in spirit and in truth. Then you can begin to understand that every entity, every human being sitting by you or walking by, past by you on the road, is a spirit being, having a soul but contained in the flesh. What happens when a man dies is that his spirit and his soul departs, so the carcass is left. So his etsuit is what you see on the floor. So we are all spirit beings. And as long as we remember this, then it will be easier for us to communicate with God in worship and get results. After worship, like prayer, is communication. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's why when we're born again, God is our Father. Just like I derive from my earthly father, I derive from my heavenly Father. I know he cares about me. He talks to me. He shows me things. He guides me. He leads me by his spirit. Do I expect him to do that? Of course, that's why I'm a son. Praise the Lord. I can assure you right now in the name of Jesus that this service, simple, this message, simple, will affect your life. Did you hear me? I say, I can assure you right now in the name of Jesus that the few words you're going to hear will affect your life for good. In the name of Jesus, I mean it will affect your life for good. You say, why are you so confident? Because they are his words. And that's how I take them. And that's how I'm presenting them to you. And that's how you're going to receive them. They will affect you. In Jesus' name. Glory be to God in the highest. I say, glory be to God in the highest. Amen. So we see that. But before I begin to analyze, this scripture, I want you to see something that he said, because we started from 46. But if you look at it from 43, the subsection there says, welcome at Galilee. That is, that was him coming back to Galilee. Now you want to understand that, okay, he says something here. He said, now, after 2 days, he departed from there and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Come on, is somebody hearing me? Jesus said it, I didn't say it. But is it true to life? Of course it is true. It is very, very true to life. Isn't it in life that you think novelty is better? Novelty is superior. In other words, what you are used to doing and seeing and hearing all the time, when something new comes, you dump what you have for that. Until you get used to this before, you know, after that one is more superior. Because it's new, you jump at it. That's just the way life is. For example, if I'm talking about giving, or I'm talking against sin, I'm talking about grace, and I fine. You believe God, you believe that your pastor is called from God, and it's fine, and you get blessed. But the day a visitor comes and says exactly the same thing, some will hear it for the first time. It's like they never heard it before. But it's the truth. Now, that pastor will be a fool to get angry, because novelty is always appearing superior. That's why if your car is the best that has ever been produced, if they produce something inferior, the day you see that drive past you, you long for it. Novelty. And of course, the world understands that. So they keep on making new things, and then they get you by. So you pay a lot of luxury taxes. That thing sometimes don't do half as good as what you already have. The dazzle is pointing, so you go. So you abandon what you have. The grass is always green on the other side. Hello? That's every other man that walks past. He's fuller, he's prettier than your wife. It's a lie. And the day you visit somebody else's home, you say, no, this is, I won't go back to my home. I want to sleep. I'm here, I'll stay here. After 3 days, you say, no, I think I prefer my home. That's life. And so even Jesus experienced that. And he said it. Why? Because you will discover that the beginning of chapter 4, the Bible says that Jesus was now returning from, let me quickly open to it. Now, therefore, chapter 4, verse 1, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea, and departed again to Galilee. Okay? But he needed to go through Samaria, and it was the Samaria issue that we discussed until we get to 43, verse 43. So he left Judea. So he was in Judea. But in Judea, not much happened. That's why he said, the prophet is not recognized in his own country. But in Jerusalem, oh my goodness, many believed when they saw the signs. In Samaria, one woman that you never expected that would believe him, believed him and ran into town, and the whole city ran after him. And so he was just passing through, but he had to stay there for 2 more days with all his disciples. And that was a taboo, as it were, at the time. Then in our return to Cana of Galilee. So you can appreciate why he said the prophet is not accepted in his own country. Glory be to God in the highest. 45 now says, so when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him. And that was why he could do much. You know, I learned something in ministry many years ago. Why? Because I was instructed to learn ministry under this man. I didn't ever meet him one-on-one. No, I didn't. But I did learn ministry under him. Kenneth Hagin. So much so that before I could really say we're starting a church, God had to take me in a vision to Tulsa. And I found myself in the gallery and he was teaching. Now, many people have gone from church to sit to go to Rhema Bible School. Fantastic. I never had to. Maybe I would have, but I didn't have to because I didn't have the opportunity. But see, did I get what I should get? Of course. Of course. And I found myself there and right on the gallery and he was teaching and clearly God spoke to me. Somebody was trying to write it. He said that, Kenny Hagin said to me, no, God spoke to me right there. He said, I didn't bring you here to observe, but to learn the art. Thereafter, things began to happen. Thereafter, in the physical, from all of a sudden, there was this particular program arranged by the U.S. government, and they were looking for, from about, I think, 17 countries or so, engineers, spectrum engineers at certain levels, and I was chosen to go. It wasn't a trip I enjoyed, though. I didn't like it much, but it was the best trip I ever took in my life. Why? Because destiny happened. I saw it, and then it followed. And usually, they will organize such courses in Houston, Pennsylvania, But for whatever reason, that year it was Tulsa, the city of Kenneth Hagin. Did I see him? No. Did I visit the camp? Yes. Did I visit Rebel's camp? Yes. If I would go to Rebel, they were asking, do you want to see him? After a long pressure, I said, yes. Unfortunately, he just left. So I didn't see him. But what I'm trying to say is that I learned from him. And one thing he said is this. He said, where you are not welcome, don't go. Connecting, yes. He said, but where your calling is celebrated, go. Where the unction of the Lord on your life is being celebrated, say, go. Because you see, receiving is the access to deliverance for the anointed. When Jesus came here, so when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received. No wonder, miracles kept on happening in Galilee. Hello. Glory be to God in the highest. What a fountain. Oh, fountain is open. Fountain receives. I can say that. From your pastors, you receive. You are fantastic. You are wonderful people. And that's why we haven't seen the end of fountain yet. We are just starting in the name of Jesus. Do we sometimes get tried by the devils? Of course. Does that bother you? Why should it bother us? Our focus is not the devil. When they are tired and don't give up, then God will give them something to nurse. Simple. We'll be praying for them still. I'm telling you. Don't you ever allow the devil to distract you. Okay, so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Okay. Now, the reason things will happen, he was received. You see, even now, anywhere Jesus is exalted, and any assembly that refuses to forget that it's about Jesus, things are going to happen. But if that assembly ever forgets that it's Jesus, then they serve themselves or serve man. Anywhere Jesus is celebrated, he will manifest. Be it in your business concern, in your home, in the church, he will manifest. Or how do you explain God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him? And without faith, it is impossible to please God. What is faith? You have absolute trust in his ability and in him. So that's what pleases him, as it were. Okay. So the man, when he heard about Jesus, in verse 47, he went to him and implored him to come and heal his son. Ladies and gentlemen, can we read the last line? Can I hear it from you? What was he coming to implore Jesus to do? What was wrong with his son? I can't hear you. Look at your neighbor. Are you here or there? Ask them. Are they here? So can you? So what was he imploring Jesus to do? To come and heal his son, for he was what? Can I hear you, sir? Can I hear you, madam? So he believed that Jesus could heal even at the point of death. Even when it is obvious that this is dying. He left home hoping that I will get to him and he will come heal my son before he dies. But he could have died before you get to Jesus. It wouldn't matter anymore. I'm going to Jesus. Whether he lives or dies, doesn't matter. I'm going to Jesus. Whether he lives or dies, Jesus will heal him. What is that what happened to Jairus? I don't know what's in your life at the point of death right now. I'm not joking now. What do you think is dead in your life? Is it the marriage of your son? Or your expectations over your daughter? Is it your health? Do you think you're about to die? Or your business is dead? Are you probably thinking of committing suicide? What do you think is about to die that is killing you and giving you so much worry? Jesus can heal it. Today. Hello? Is somebody here with me? I say, Jesus can heal it now. Let me put it another way. What is it in your life that you have given up on? You have given up totally. You can't see it happening again. And it's so much of a concern and trouble to you. I've come today in the name of Jesus to say to you, get ready to celebrate. Yes. It can never be too far gone with Jesus. Thank God for that promise. For with God, all things are possible. So I decree in the name of Jesus, I decree life. 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 For whatever dying situation in your life, I say the world will celebrate with you in the name of Jesus. Look at it from another angle. From the camp of the devil, they got you where they wanted you. You are dead. As a matter of fact, they've sent their emissaries to you to make sure that you are dead spiritually. Oh, they even buried your effigy. Said, that's how we buried him. That's voodoo. Oh, they send Shigidi to you. Say, go and make sure. Oh, my show. Agbara wa nu eje Jesus. Well, I just said that there is power in the blood of Jesus. 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 Christianity is a covenant life. At the point of death, he went to Jesus. So where they were waiting to celebrate your death, they will be running helter-skelter when you appear. In the name of Jesus. Because the devil always makes mistakes. He's made another one now. And you know the interesting thing? They can repent. If they don't repent, they are shigidi. It's going back to them. Seven times. In the name of Jesus. But that's the covenant you operate. They'll come against you one way. They'll flee. See, you must know these things. The arrow, if they don't repent, is going back to them. You see why you shouldn't bother yourself too much. You see why when your focus is Jesus, that's the end. He knew, he left and headed for Jesus. Now you can appreciate why the Bible will say, looking unto Jesus. You can appreciate why, though they were beaten by the deadly serpent, God said to Moses, can you make a brazen image of that serpent and lift it up? Anyone dying that will look at it will live. Can I say to any destitutioner, if you look unto Jesus, and that's why what we've come to raise up today here is Jesus. If you, oof, I feel the fire. Oh, yes, my goodness, I feel the fire. See, that's it. That's how it happens. Because in Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. I said, oh my goodness. I think the Spirit of God is moving now. Yes, 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 yes. Whatever the devil has concluded as death or dying in your life, is a regret right now in the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says that in Mazatia there shall be deliverance. Oh, my God, sword up. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory be to God in the highest. Hallelujah. It's all over the hall, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I just want you to pay attention to me for some few minutes. You always have a choice to believe the lie of the devil or to believe the word of God. But don't let me go ahead of myself. What happened here now? I was just talking to you and telling you how focus on Jesus. That's all. Look up to Jesus and let me see the devil that will come and snatch you. You be looking at Jesus. Let them be looking at you. You be looking at Jesus. Let me see whether they can take you. That's what I'm just saying. And can I see? That's the Bible. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. Dying at the point of death, they thought it's finished. When he was running to Jesus, when he was thinking Jesus, when he was looking at Jesus, the Bible said the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set me from the law of sin and death. Did his son die? No. Then Jesus spoke to him. And isn't it amazing that every miracle of Jesus was by word? Jesus spoke to him and he said something. Come on, 48. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Why did he say that? Because signs and wonders is a sign to unbelievers. And that was what was attracting most of them. But you see, he said that to test him. And I hope you understand that this man was highly placed. The Bible's here. One version said nobleman. Another version says royal officer of Herod. They were under the Roman control. And the Roman governor in that area is Herod. And this was Herod's PA. So, physically speaking, or politically, looking at it, Jesus was nobody. This is a big man. Or was a big man. And Jesus said, unless you people believe. The man didn't look at his office. He shelved it for the reality of life. He didn't answer. He said, sir, rabbi, master, please come quickly before he dies. I heard you. Yeah, okay, I have seen the sign. I want life, my son. And you know why I was testing him? Every faith must be tested. The authenticity of a faith only comes through test. Is somebody hearing me? After I tested the faith of Abraham, you have a child, and you, the nations of the whole world, shall be blessed. The man was almost 100, he got to 100, no child. When finally the child came, the child grew up 5, 10, now a teenager, he said, I need a burnt offering, your son. He was old enough to be able to carry the firewood that would burn a whole animal to ashes. By the time he pulled the knife, God said, in fact, the Bible said that God was doing this to test him. Now, by the time he did that, God said, now for truth I know that you fear God. And began to reel out all the rewards of obedience to the words of the covenant. And when he got nothing to do, he said, I swear by myself, Abraham, that if I don't do what I promise you, I swear by myself. How many of you know that we got more than that in Jesus? What he says he will do for you, he will do. Don't be afraid. You are a lesson to the wicked. And that's the truth. So the man said, they just said, unless you see sign 49. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. 50. Then Jesus said to him, come on, I feel the fire again. He said, why does it happen this way? Because I believe, ladies and gentlemen. How did you get to believe? The grace of God. How can I have this grace? That's why I say, listen to this message. Because it's yours. In the first place, it was because you believed that you are born again. That's it. And sometimes you wonder, how come it could get me born again and like it could not get me continuing the journey? Oof, I feel the fire again. Strange now. This one, I know what it is. Your terrible financial situation is receiving a divine intervention. Now, I can say that clearly. No, I can say that clearly. Believe me, I can say that clearly. No, true. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your son lives. Let me bring it out. So the man, what did the man do?
Believe.
I can't hear you.
Believe.
I can't hear you.
Believe.
So whatever, if you were the one, whatever situation you might have taken to him there, then go your way, your son lives. So what did the man do?
Believe.
The man what?
Believe.
Uh-huh. What did he believe? The word. That Jesus what? And what did he do? Wow. Afraid his son would die, he ran to Jesus. Jesus said, go your way. Your son lives. But he was almost dying when he left home. Jesus said that. The man went his way. Relaxed. The anxiety and the fears were gone. And as he was going, his servants met him on the way. They said, your son is alive. He's doing well. They intended that he would be dead. But he's doing well. Then the man said, what? When did it happen? The seventh hour. Then he realized that was when Jesus said,
go your way. Your son lives. But how did he get there? He believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. Have you ever read the Bible before that he sent his word and he healed the sick? This word of Jesus isn't amazing. He rebuked the wind. How did he do that? He spoke. And he spoke to the sea. Did they obey?
Yes, sir.
He spoke to death in the case of Lazarus. Did he obey?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Yes. See, the truth is, God is nearer than we are always taken. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. So how this man behaved and lived that part of his life is how we are supposed to live every day. Not run from pillar to post, saying something frightening us. Frightening you. Let's just receive grace to believe him. In fact, I wrote in the margin of my Bible, I troubled my wife for 2 years tonight. I said the whole business in the New Testament, the business of believing Jesus, that's all.
Yes, sir.
That's the whole thing. So the whole thing about Christianity is believing Jesus. The whole thing about the Bible is believing Jesus in his word. Hello? So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he walked away, and his son was well. Can I say to somebody here today, whatever is carrying you in your life and family, I command it to be well today in the name of Jesus. I say I command it to be well in the name of Jesus. The devil made a mistake trying you or trying me. Even the ground that he thinks he has legitimately taken from you, I say turn over in the name of Jesus. He loses ground right now because of the blood of Jesus. And if he doesn't give up, he will pay dearly for it. He knows. In the name of Jesus. They're talking life. What does the Bible say? This light shines in the darkness. What if I believe Jesus? What if I believe his word? What word? I am the light of the world. I believe. And this light shines in the darkness, and darkness cannot. I believe. I feel the fire. Now, the devil doesn't know that. He thinks he can kill. He thinks he can stop. He thinks he can disgrace. But I am the light of the world. Jesus has said that. I believe it. And I know it. And I know that this light shines in the dark. Darkness cannot. In the name of Jesus. The man believed Jesus. Walked away. You find the same pattern when the angel visited Mary. The moment Mary accepted it, said, let it be to me, according to you, the angel departed. And at that point, the woman who had never met a man before became conceived. Because God was speaking, she believed. The next verse. See, the problem we have with this is, with faith, is because we mix believing and faith, as it were. We don't know. I think it's Matthew 17:20. Can you quickly, New Living Translation. I see you are looking there. Because the devil has told you too much lies. But you only need to believe the word of Jesus. See the New Living Translation. Matthew 17:20. I'm sure he heard me. Yeah, thank you. Jesus, that's New Living Translation. Look at this. I want to use it to explain faith to you. You don't have enough faith. Jesus told them, that was when he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and they could not hear. I feel the fire here. You don't have enough faith. Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. If you have faith, even as small as mustard seed. So really, the question is, what is he saying? Because you don't have enough faith. But I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as mustard seed, you say to the mountain, it shall move. So then how do you define enough faith? He said, if it's as small as mustard seed, mountains will move. They say, why you are not? It's because you don't have enough faith. So that means that you don't have enough as mustard seed. Is that what he was saying? No. This is a translation problem. Because he said, if Jesus says it is true, because what I'm dealing with is believe what he says. And you understand that what he says directly is fantastic, and what we see in the Bible is him speaking. You say, how? Because in the beginning was the Word. Any promise in the Bible is Jesus' Word. After all, nothing was created that wasn't created by him. And yet the whole of this earth and the whole of the universe, the whole of the worlds were framed by his Word. And who was his Word? He was his Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So somebody is saying you will die, he's a creature. The Creator is saying you will not die, you will live. It's up to you who you believe. So that creature will run into trouble straight away. Now, hear it in the King James. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. New Living Translation said, you don't have enough faith. Can you see the difference? Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith, so we have unbelief and faith. You have belief and faith. That one didn't differentiate it. And so that's the mistake we make. We use them interchangeably. They are very similar, but they are not exactly the same. As a matter of fact, I was reading that in the Greek, one is a noun, one is a verb. But usually, too, you discover that that's the way it functions, even in the New Testament. Sorry, in English. That's the way it functions. Okay, what is believing, for example? Believing is, let me give you I wrote a definition from the dictionary. Definition. Belief is an opinion or judgment in which a person is fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. And how can a person get there? It's what you are in the habit of hearing or seeing or experiencing. Hello, is somebody hearing me? Exactly. If you have experienced something over and over, then you are convinced. If you have seen it before, you are convinced. If you heard it before, you have convinced over and over. And that's why culture, environment, tradition, they hold us down. I was telling them in the first service, I said, I read of a situation where they were in the spirit and the musicians were playing, and somebody was dancing in the spirit, and she danced off the stage and she didn't fall. But naturally speaking, if you dance, come off the stage, let's see. You are coming down because of the law of gravity. Is somebody hearing me? So what was happening there? Supernatural occurrence, as it were. She was in the spirit. Pastor, will you dance that way? I won't dance off consciously. If I dance off consciously, yeah. So some people enter the lion's den. Can you see carnality of the highest order? Flesh. Show off. Just God himself killed unnecessarily. But when you are in the spirit, lions will bow down for you. Can it still happen? Of course, if you are trapped in it, not consciously, unconsciously, and God is with you, of course they will bow. Today, yes. That's exactly what I'm saying. If that boy could live, if cancer gets healed today by words, and that's not to despise doctors, I hope you know that. Because God knows that it will take you this long to get your faith in order. So doctors are there for you. Even doctors themselves know that they do what they study, but they still have faith for your healing. That's why when they diagnose and then they give you drugs or injections and everything, they still come and say, how are you feeling today? How? They want you. If you're not improving according to what they are doing, they are worried for you. So I tell people, I say, go to doctors if you have to. The Holy Ghost is the greatest teacher. Is that why you shouldn't go to school when you have the opportunity to go to school? So because Jesus is coming, so no, don't go to school anymore. Come on, that's carnality. That is trying to use flesh to interpret the spirit things. But when you get to a place where you know that the physical has no solution, why don't you run to the Maker? And by the time it happens once or twice, even on your way to the hospital, you decree a word and you expect some solution, but you are still running. I was telling you of the man, the paramedic, we call it paramedic. That was his job. Comes the ambulance, they pick the emergency case, and he's there checking the vitals, giving oxygen, and run to the hospital. But this guy got caught up in what we are saying, a Christian. And while he was there, God would say, is the heart. The heart's about to stop pumping. He would say, heart, I command in you, just come on. And heart will regenerate itself before it gets to the hospital. They will come to the hospital and say, wow, this is serious. We expect this. How come this is happening? He took a while before started saying, I prayed for him. What do you say to that? So what's the definition? An opinion that is fully persuaded. Now, let me quickly conclude it. So now, somebody came to me and said, we saw Lumpty in London. That white woman. I said, huh? Do you mean Lumpty Odukoya? They say, yes. White, tall, slim. I said, no. Then they tried to convince me that she's tall and she's white complexion. I'm like, no. I know Lumpty. I've spoken to her. She has spoken to me. I have seen her. She's my wife. So you can't change me. I'm convinced that she's not white. She's only fairer than me. I'm blacker. Are you getting what I'm saying? But if I haven't seen her, and she doesn't happen to be my wife, and I haven't seen her in about 10 years, I said, no, she's slim, she's fair, she's tall. I said, well, maybe she has gone to the gym a lot, more than she's doing. Well, I don't really know her. No, not Nopti. Then I'll begin to think, maybe this person you're talking about has bleached and has gone more to the gym, and she now wears 8 inches, you know, and you don't see, then by the time you try to prove that, you can begin to convince me. Now, this is what happens. If you're able to convince me, do you know that my perception of her is what you have affected? Then what I used to think of her has changed. So my attitude of who she is will begin to get affected. And now, so I don't have to get any black lady. I have to look for something for a slimmer lady, a taller lady, a white lady. All right. So can you see my attitude affected? Because my attitude has affected. What caused that? My belief. Because of that, so what I say about her has changed. And my action towards her has changed. My preparation has changed. So what does belief do? Belief is a conviction. And faith is the reaction to the conviction. And that's why if it is faith, there must be a corresponding action. Because by the time I know that, then my first step away from that is I'm handling a white, slim, tall lady. And everything I think about her and do about her until I meet her is a white, slim, tall lady. And that will affect everything until I meet a white, and I will very likely meet a white, slim, tall lady. Can you see belief and faith? So what does belief do? Belief establishes a conviction. Then faith takes the first step in that direction. That's why the book of James says, if you say you have faith, he says, show me your works. Show me your actions. Now, bring it back home. He came, my son. He left smiling and walking away. His attitude has changed. What he says has changed. What he was thinking has changed. What he was doing has changed. What he got has changed. So what does the word say? By his stripes, you are healed. Everything written about him is great. What does his word say? You will not die. You will live. You will see your children's children. Isn't that what he says about me? What does his word say? I'm complete in him who is the head of all principalities and powers. What does the word say? It is in him I live, I move, and I have my being. What does the word say?
Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. What does the word say? I am head, I am not tail. What does the word say is my glory, and the lifter of my head? What does the word say? Come on, talk to me. I am the light of the world. I am a city on a hill. My light shines. What does the word say? Because if I believe it, I will see the result. Whatever is dying in your life, I command again. Live in the name of Jesus. Oh. Yes, why don't we rise? You have the bread and the cup with you. What does the word say? By the stripes I'm healed. What does the word say? Sin shall not have dominion over me. What does the word say? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Where does he dwell? Inside of me. And he what? Quickens my mortal bodies. To the glory of his holy name. Amen. And so in the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he gave thanks. And he said, take, eat all of this. This is my body, which is broken for you. And one thing I've come to realize, ladies and gentlemen, is this. Are you here with me? Because of the blood of Jesus, I always have a new beginning. So what does the blood do? It assures me that I'm a covenant child of God. It reminds me I'm a covenant child of God. That's why we say take it often. And as often as you do it in remembrance of me. So I know I have a covenant with God. And I believe the words of Jesus. I know that the same life that raised him from the dwells inside of me. So he defeats the devil, he delivers me, defeats the devil, protects me, and gives me a new beginning. And so as far as the covenant is concerned, today is another beginning in your life. You will see a fulfillment of the words of the covenant in your life in Jesus' name. You will see victory everywhere you go in the name of Jesus. No, that's clear. We are the aroma of what? Life unto life to them who believe. And of course, death unto death to those who don't believe. Because everywhere we go, there's an aroma of his knowledge. And so shall it be in the name of Jesus. So if you are here today, you are not born again. Then you see, how can this work for you? But if you are born again, the moment you chew this one, I assure you in the name of Jesus, a point of contact. Something definite begins in your life. You know, they say that witches, they put something into food. When you eat it, you become a witch. When you eat this one, that whatever such witch, you will die. In the name of Jesus. I'm not joking. They gave him witch to eat. This one will destroy any such witch. In the name of Jesus. It will destroy it. This one will cause a healing in your body in the name of Jesus. This one will bring about a protection in the name of Jesus. This one will deliver in the name of Jesus.
We know that you have been tremendously blessed by this message. For additional information and materials from Pastor Taiwo Odukoya, please contact us at the Fountain of Life Church, 12 Industrial Estate Road by PZ Industries, Off Town Planning Way, Ilukoju, Lagos. Visit our website at www.tfolc.org. Thank you. God bless you.